B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Now let's go down the Clearwater. Oh, I miss it. Where he does a wonderful job. My man, we go way back in the day. Too far back. Still doing an incredible job covering this sport. He's a Hall of Famer in my eyes. Jim Salisbury from NBC Sports Philly. Jimmy!
Hey, tell him how far we go back.
We go back to really early 90s.
At the Post.
So we had the same editor. And the editor... Take your pink panties off when you write.
I hate cute.
It was the best. I was all pumped up when you came over to the Post.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man.
It was really great. I was trying to explain to somebody today about the travel budget. How about our travel budget that we used to have? We used to go everywhere.
Unlimited. You know, I learned a great lesson from Greg about writing and covering a team. And you know, he used to say, this is fairly ridiculous what he used to say, but I understood what he was saying. He used to say,
buy the sandwich.
You know, when they make an error or when they lose a game, you should take it personally. Oh. And I'm thinking, that's really stupid. But the more you think about it, he wanted to see that level of passion in your writing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
When they do well, you should take it personally. When they stink, you should take it personally. And I think it was because he just wanted to see that level of passion in your writing.
Wow. So I never thought about that. You're right about that.
The more I thought about it, you know, it took me a long time to realize that. But
do you think he also, because he was the original, you have to write for the fan.
That's what I mean. You're right. He wanted you to almost like become like a fan, think like the fans. So the fans, the people that you're serving, and the fans are the people that are doing the reading, and take it personally. You know, have the same passion that the guy at home or in the stands is spending money watching the game or watching on TV. The fan that is ticked off that they lost the game, have that same level of passion in your writing, and you will relate more to your audience. And it took me years to realize that, but he was right.
Yeah, he was. Nah, that's a great point you bring up. Yeah, he was dead right. You know what he taught me? He was like, dude, you can't have any fear in this world. So when he'd say, he'd go, buy him a sandwich, right? You know that whole story, right? Buy him a sandwich. So
I lived it, yeah.
Right, so he would say to us, like to Jim and I, for us to go buy the athlete a sandwich, go over there, knock on their door, and it was basically a way for us to get exclusive interviews.
Right, get them away from the ballpark and get them to show their human side and things like that. So
I think back to some of the stories I did because of him. I had Barry Bonds and Bobby Bonilla at a jewelry store in San Francisco. Bonds was buying his little daughter at the time a $27,000 bracelet.
Jeez.
And like, it's the three of us in this jewelry store in downtown San Francisco. Like, I think about that. Nobody got that kind of access, right? Like, the stuff that you and I used to get with guys. And all he did was like, oh, let me come with you. And they go, all right. You know, next thing you know, you got a great story.
I remember there was a time right after the Yankees won the World Series in 96, I was covering the Yankees, and Torrey was appearing at some black tie dinner, and he wanted me to go dress up like a waiter and put a napkin over my wrist and pour wine so I could hear what Joe was saying.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
He was the, you know, he's great. Greg Gell, a great passionate sports editor, and learned an awful lot from him. And he used to say, "Don't be afraid to be wrong." And that took me a long time to realize he didn't want you to be, you know, don't be afraid to be wrong in your opinions. Take a stand, and if you're wrong, you're wrong. But don't be afraid. So it was a great place to learn. You know,
an
exciting place, really exciting place.
It really was. It really was. And this is for the audience because it's kind of interesting when you pull back the curtain and you tell them about sports media. And I'll never forget when the first day at spring training, we used to call, Jim and I would have to call in every day
10 o'clock.
Yes. And all right, what's our aim for the day? What are we going to look at? That whole thing. And then one day, the first day I was in spring training, he said, "Sit down on the grass." And I went, "Are you there?" I go, "Yeah." "Sit down. Smelt, roll around in it. You know what it's like up here? It's 25 degrees and it's snowing. I want you to write about the grass."
And he was right again. He was thinking of the fans. He wanted you to show the reader, write in images and show the reader. So put the reader there. And again, he was right.
And then he would tell me to take my pink panties off when I wrote. "You got those pink panties on again."
Get away with a few things you probably didn't get away with in this day and age.
Oh, my God. Amazing stuff. So, how's it feel down there? What's the vibe?
I'd say the vibe is generally upbeat, although your opening day starter just got scratched with the flu.
Yeah.
but, you know, I think generally there's optimism. In terms of, if you can't have optimism in spring training, then, you know, when can you have it? I think there's optimism for a winning season, but I also think there's a lot of realism. Are they, you know, do they have enough pitching to really make a run at this division? Are they better than the Braves and the Nationals? So, as usual, it's always going to come down to pitching. And for me, it's going to be about the drop-off after Nola and Wheeler.
Yeah.
You know, how good Eflin and Arrieta can be and what you can get at number five spot, because I generally think the lineup is going to be okay. It's going to give them a chance on a lot of nights, and it's going to come down to pitching, and it always does.
Do you think they have enough? They have enough pop.
Enough pop, yeah. With Harper, a lot of it, that question depends on, you know, what Hoskins they're going to get.
Right.
He hit a lot of home runs his first couple seasons, but really tailed off down the stretch last year, had problems with contact. And, you know, a lot of it depends on how he comes back. He's a real key. But, you know, Realmuto is a good offensive player. Harper's a good offensive player. They'll benefit from Gregorius's pop. Segura had a down year at the plate last year. He's a big key. But, you know, they really, really need a rebound from Rhys Hoskins in the middle of that order, kind of bring everything together.
Totally. No, I'm with you.
And they need McCutchen to get back, too, because, you know, they missed him in a big way last year. You know, first 2 months of last season, you know, he comes at you with a .378 on-base percentage out of the leadoff hole. That's the second-best leadoff on-base percentage in the majors. And then over the final 4 months of the season, they had the second-worst on-base percentage out of the leadoff hole in the entire major leagues, and they really suffered for that.
Yeah.
So getting him back and having a table setter in front of some of those big bats is really crucial to this team.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and you're right about pitching. We start the conversation and end it with, you know, do you have enough after 1-2? And it's been the same story every year. You know, what's it look like? What's the bullpen look like, too, which is another thing of those roles?
Big question mark, because, you know, they did little, if anything, to upgrade the bullpen in the offseason. I expect Francisco Liriano to make the team as a non-roster guy. Had a good year with Pittsburgh last year. I think he's going to help. But, you know, that's pretty much, even if it's an upgrade, it's pretty much your only one. So they need guys to rebound with good health and better performance. And they need Dominguez to come back healthy. If he's healthy and doing what he did as a rookie, he's akin to a significant pickup. But,
yes,
again, he's coming back from an elbow. He has been letting the ball go pretty good yesterday, in fact. So at least the reports are pretty good on him thus far. But until you get into, you know, real game conditions during the season, and you can do it, you know, two or three times a week, you just don't know. So pitching, rotation, bullpen, biggest question marks going on this team.
What do you think? We're talking to the great Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philly, and as we get ready for spring training, and soon the season will be upon us. It'll be great, and Jimmy will be there every night to help bring you Phillies baseball. Do you think Girardi, what does he mean? Forget about games and stuff like that, but what does he mean now that you have Girardi and not Gabe for this team?
I just think he brings a cred, if you will, that really resonates through the clubhouse, a level of credibility that the previous regime just didn't have. Even if you look at the previous regime as kind of neutral, it really ebbed at the end in terms of that cred. I just don't think they took the whole thing seriously. And they'll take this guy seriously. They are taking this guy seriously. He's going to lead. He's going to be the boss. And I think this roster, especially the pitchers, are really hungry for leadership, hungry to be led. I had one player say to me, the big difference is, you know, last couple of years it was, okay, guys, what do you think? What should we do? Now it's, hey, okay, here's what we're going to do and here's why, you know?
That's a
big difference because I do think, though they're well-compensated pro athletes and we tend to build them up, I think as a group, athletes like to be led. They like structure. I think they like discipline. I'm not talking about, you know, getting hauled into the principal's office.
Right.
I'm talking structure. I'm talking, yes, this is what we're going to do.
Yes.
They like to have faith in that general and throw their trust behind that general. And Joe, for his resume, and I think for his personality and just the way he's conducted things out of the gate here, is going to be that general. And I think you're going to just see a sharper group of athletes. And I think that's going to translate into sharper focus, especially down the stretch. I think that's going to translate into some more victories for the team.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I think you're dead right about that. I think it's all well and good to be, you know, have your players' backs and all that stuff. I mean, this isn't about, you know, yelling at guys.
Not about that at all. It's like I said, it's not hauling them into the
principal's
office. It's not getting in their face. It's not embarrassing them in press conferences. They don't like that. But it's about leading and about them trusting that you know what the hell you're doing.
Right.
And, I don't know that that was there last year, the year before. They certainly liked Gabe because he's a very quality guy and a quality human being, a real gentleman. But I don't know that trust that he's the guy that's going to deliver us was ever there. And you could extend that to the pitching coach as well. I don't know if you follow the narrative down here, but the pitchers are loving life under their new pitching coach. And he's got many of the same qualities as Joe. He's got that experience. He's got that credibility. He's not, you know, they're not going to force things down these pitchers' throats. They're going to pitch to their strengths and let them pitch to their strengths and kind of, you know, make suggestions. And I think it can be a better environment for bringing the best out of people.
So we're talking to Jim Salisbury on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jimmy, I trust your eye implicitly. And I'm curious about something. What is the state of this franchise right now? I had some people tell me, well, it's a little bit in flux when it comes to the baseball side versus the number side. And you got guys running around that are the number side that don't know anything about baseball. And, you know, there's kind of a little fiefdoms here and there. What do you see when it comes to that sort of thing?
You might want to ask that question in 3 months. I mean, if they're playing really good ball under Joe Girardi, who I think skews more old school, and under this pitching coach who skews more old school, I think you're going to see, you know, a lot of people wondering if some of the things they did around here were right. Right now, I think they're kind of caught in the middle. There's a lot of the new methods that are being applied at the minor league level, and a lot of these new methods were applied at the big league level the last couple of years. And now they're not going to be so apparent and so prioritized at the big league level. So I see them kind of in the middle here. I think it's very fair to say that this front office is, quite on the hot seat in terms of they need a winning season, need to get to October, or there could be even more changes. And this front office is the group that has espoused this change to the new school. So I think they're right kind of in the middle. But you know, starting to, I think there's some people second guessing if they went too far in doing some of the things they did. And if Girardi comes in here and they can start moving things in the right direction, you might even see them question it even more, and it might start to lean more the way it was. I'm not saying it needs to go all the way back where it was, or it should, because I personally think, you know, the numbers are here to stay, the technology is here to stay, and used correctly, it can be really beneficial.
Right.
I just think that there needs to be a blend, and you need to have a feel for the fact that these are human beings with a heartbeat, and you need to, they're just not numbers on a computer screen or on a sheet of paper. So right now, they're kind of in the middle. After really going one way, they're kind of in the middle right now, and we'll kind of see.
You know, it's kind of funny, right? Because you go, listen, of course the numbers are valuable, right? Of course, you know, and especially in baseball, but in any sport, you know, the deep data will help out. But, you know, you can't just forsake all of your experienced people for, you know, young guys with iPads, right? I mean, like, you know, there's some value in everything. That's why I never understood these organizations that go full-fledged into one direction when you know it's got to be a mix of things.
Got to be a mix. I mean, and you got to use your eyeballs, and you got to have, you know, there's stuff that's worked in the game for 100 years. Like, there was so much emphasis on the high fastball the last couple of years, and there is around baseball because more and more of these hitters are swinging on that upward plane looking to launch the ball. And if you can throw, you know, a hard fastball up around the letters, you can keep it above the,
right,
the plane of the bat. It's a very difficult pitch to locate when you have a marginally talented staff. And, you know, you got to use your eyeballs. You know, even Joe Girardi, he'll tell you that, you know, hey, the merits of a high fastball. But it'll also say, you know, the game is for 100 years, down and away fastball. Fastball at the knees has been a really good pitch. And in talking about the way they were throwing fastballs up in the zone so much last year, he even said, I don't know why you'd eliminate one weapon, meaning the fastball at the knees. So, I mean, that's an observation right there, that kind of an old-school observation that kind of gives you the feel that things are at least trending in a little different direction and have a chance to be maybe dramatically different under Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all. I love that. Hey, one last thing, and I so appreciate the time. You do such a wonderful job covering baseball in this town and bringing us baseball. And I know how much you love this sport. Is this out of line? To me, the best time in the sport is October, right?
Right.
It's when guys bear down. It's pitch by pitch. It's amazing. Is there a way to shorten the regular season and truly elongate playoffs? Like, go 6 to 8 weeks of playoffs and shorten the regular season and make it ratchet up that much more quickly and for that much longer?
I don't know. I'm sure they're considering everything.
I'm saying for you. Your opinion.
That seems a little long. I think part of baseball is that test of time and that test of organizational depth, pitching depth, and that's why you play 162 games. But I still think you can test an organization's depth and a team's greatness over 154 games. I think you could cut back 5% of the season. That said, you know, to get the union to go for that, you're going to have to show them where you're going to make up 5% of those revenues.
Right.
Maybe it is with a little bit more elongated playoff. But to me, elongated playoffs, you definitely have to cut back the season because I already think it's too long. When you start seeing it get into November, you know, it's too long. You look at the toll that all those Octobers had on like a guy like Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he won 3 World Series. You take that any day of the week. But I think to get much longer than a month, I don't know if that, you know, would serve anybody well. I think it's good where it is at a month. They're considering adding more teams. Like I said, I'd love to see them go back to 154. I think that would be a real fair test. I do, in some ways, like it that it's hard to get in the playoffs because, you know, you want your best teams there. But they are looking at a lot of ways to spice things up, but it's all going to come back to the almighty dollar. Right? Unless they're going to make more revenues out of it, they're not going to do anything. But playoffs do generate revenues, so you could see some adjustments there, I would think.
Jimmy, great stuff, man. Thank you, my brother. We appreciate everything. Love talking baseball. Okay. We always have, always will.
Okay, buddy.
See you, pal. Care. Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.